Welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for July 30th, 2018. I'm your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis. And usually at this time, I say thank you, Janine Fadich, except she's not here right now. She's out of town taking care of her folks, and she'll be back next week for the... Won't she? Let me see. Yes, she'll be back next week. So this week, we're going to be talking about things like automation, tariffs, Supreme Court justices, and texting. I mean, we cover a lot of ground and ask the question, are we headed in the right direction? Which is a great question. So with Prickly City, what I talked about this week is exactly what I talked about. Supreme Court justice votes, texting, you know, well, I'll start with the Sunday, Prickly City, where Winslow's just walking down staring at his phone, and a dinosaur walks by, also texting, goes, hello, he goes, hello, and just the last panel, he goes, you know, what the what? But I had a great line from, or note rather, from somebody here who, from H. Fergus. So H. Fergus commented, I'm surprised Winslow even noticed the dinosaur at all. I mean, texters, although he says testers, which is making me giggle, texters in the crosswalk don't seem to notice or care about cars closing in, even when the walkers are going against the signs. I live here in Chicago, and I work and live downtown, and so I am almost run into virtually every day by someone not in a car, not on a bicycle, not on a motorcycle, but walking. And what's funny is I just keep walking. They walk towards me. They virtually run into me. And then they look up and they make you feel like you're the jerk. I'm not kidding. It's the worst feeling. And you just want to take their phone and throw it. And I understand that's a felony because, you know, they cost so much now. But I'm just telling you how I feel, folks. I'm talking to you from here. The heart. That's what I'm hitting. You can hear that. Although it sounds pretty hollow. Maybe some of the other commenters are right and I don't have one. Anyway, so the dailies I go on and talk about, particularly about automation, and it ends with tariffs, kind of ending that storyline in the president's stupid-ass tariffs, but let's go with automation. I got a lot of notes, a lot of emails asking me what in the world I meant by this. Why, you know, is automation a thing? Is that important? And I'm telling you, you know, it's a very, very important thing. In fact, we had a note here from one of our commenters, Tim Bob, 2313. Love the name. More steel workers lost their jobs due to automation than because of cheap steel from China. And MSSS, a little discomfort now is needed for the long-range good for the country. Most politicians think only in time spans of their term in office in the next election. Will they be automated? You know, okay, so that's both sides of the argument. One is that this president is playing three-dimensional chess. I mean, he's shown no inclination in any of his life that he does this. So let's just move forward from that illusion and just say that this is, you know, a straightforward, linear kind of a thing to do, and that's with the tariffs. When it comes to automation, though, how do you address this? I mean, we're on the cusp of, look at this, we're on the cusp of having driverless cars. So that gets rid of bus drivers, cab drivers, truck drivers. All those jobs are gone. Those are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not even millions, of good-paying jobs for low-skill workers. Although I could never back up a truck, so I could probably not call them low-skill. But you see what I'm saying. Automation is also affecting things like... sorry, I just went off. Apparently, my brain went on a little trip, and now it's back. Especially manufacturing jobs. I was on a plane recently. I think I've mentioned this on previous podcasts, and I apologize for repeating myself. But sitting next to a guy, asked him what his job was. He sells parts to factories. And during the course of the trip, I asked him, what changes have you seen in the business? And he said, the number one thing is nowadays you pull up to a factory, and it's pitch black except for maybe one or two lights in the office. And what he meant by that, of course, was that the entire factory, even if it could be running at 100%, has absolutely no one working the line. All those jobs now are being done by machines. And yeah, people come back and they say, well, the economy and the dynamic aspect of the free market, these people will be retrained and they'll land in another part of the economy. But the problem is that no jobs that offer this level of skill set are going to be offered. Back in my day, yeah, don't you love it when an old man starts a sentence like that? back in my day, you could work in a man or a woman could work in a factory, have their whole careers there, retire with a pension, and those jobs are G-O-N-E. They're gone. Not trade is a small part of it, as our commenter mentioned. More jobs are lost now to automation. If you listen to places like USA Today, the news site, the newspaper site, their videos are clearly an automatronic voice, which sounds, and it's getting better all the time, but they still trip over words like, and today we had something go on, and Scott Stantis, you know, it'll trip over the word. And so voiceover work is being, so maybe someday this podcast will be done by automation. So I just conjectured the idea of whether or not we should, you know, automate the cartoons. And there are some cartoons that seem to have been in, you know, automated mode for quite some time. I also threw in, on a side note, John Glenn, who is the president of AM Universal, Andrews & McMillan Universal Syndicate, and they distribute Prickly City, which was kind of fun because I was down in Kansas City recently and got to spend some time with John. He's a terrific guy and a wonderful editor. And I mean, I don't have to say nice things because I have a contract, but it's all of that is absolutely true. As someone whose judgment I trust and I like, and I like to make fun of, and he takes being made fun of pretty well, I think, so far. Yeah. Anyway, so there's that. Let me throw in a few more comments. Kyle of Low Kalsh. While I usually agree with you, Darson, who's one of our regular commenters, the Democratic Party never misses a chance to miss a chance to do something. Sad days ahead, I'm afraid. Well, you know, we're talking about a blue wave in the midterm elections. We're 99 days out. It'll seem like the longest 99 days in your life, or at least close to it. The Democratic Party needs to step up. I know it's so presumptuous for a Republican to say, here's what the Democrats need to do, but they need to make their case, and they need to say who and what they are. Are they Bernie Bros? Are they Hillary statists and corporatists? What exactly are they? I think the case can be made that the younger voters in this country lean towards Bernie Bro-isms, maybe not to that extreme, but certainly elements of that. But when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to raising the minimum wage, when it comes to even abstract ideas that they're trying in Europe, like the guaranteed income. But the problem with that is young voters don't vote. You have to ask yourself: is the Trump era and the Trump Republican Party, have they, fallen for and dismissed or at least antagonized the younger voters in this country? And that question is going to be raised and it's going to be answered come November of this year. It's fascinating. Had a very nice comment by Up Two Tricks. I love the name. Up Two Tricks, who writes, this is one of the reasons I like this comic. Stantis is obviously conservative, but can see the forest for the trees with the current administration. He's not a blind supporter like many who claim to be conservatives are. Well, that, and the character's name is Carmen, which is also happens to be my name. Well, thank you, Carmen, and thank you for liking this. And thank you for the compliment. So many of my fellow Republicans and conservatives who I really respect are starting to fall into line. I think that's political expediency, obviously. He's the president, and he seems to be, he just sucks the air out of the room. I wish Janine was here, because she says on a regular basis, I never thought about the president every day. You know, Janine is pretty normal American. She lives her life, and she's engaged, but only to a certain point. That's certainly not like me. But she said, I only think of the president, every other two or three days. I never really came up. Sometimes you'd go weeks without thinking about the president. Now you think about this guy every day. And I don't know that that's like, Trump derangement syndrome or some kind of obsession. I just think the tweets and, I'm going to shut down the government if I don't get the money for the wall. By the way, the wall that the Mexicans were going to pay for, right? Am I remembering this correctly? Yes. Yes, I am. So that about covers this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. I really miss Janine. I wish she was here. I know you do too, and she'll be back next week. If you want to follow the antics of Carmen and Winslow, feel free to do so. Go to gocomics.com/prickly city, all one word, and go ahead and sign up, and then you can click the little heart and, show Scott and Carmen and Winslow a little love. If you can also leave a comment there, and we may or may not read it here on the on the Prickly City Podcast, but we'd sure love to hear from you. And if you want to contact us directly so you don't want to get into the mosh pit, that is comment boards, go ahead and send it to pricklycity@gmail.com. That's emailing us at pricklycity@gmail.com. So for Janine, who's not here, thank you to WGN and WGN Plus for hosting us and doing all this, for our wonderful producer, Brian Altimer, and for all of you for listening. Thank you so much. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.